Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how the Bible is our guide for eternal life. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you place within us, God. Father, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you, God. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised, God. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, God, that you sent to pay for all of our sins, God. Father, we thank you for how powerful his blood is to have covered all of our sins. We thank you for how his broken body caused us to have physical wholeness, God, and made that available to us, God. Father, we thank you for your mighty provision and all that you've accomplished through your Son, Jesus Christ, obedience to you. Father, teach us to have a heart to obey you and to trust your word, God. Study your word so that we can follow the answers that you've given us, God, so that you can guide us through your Holy Spirit within us to the places where we need to be so that we can live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, God. Father, I thank you for you causing us to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life by operating the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I thank you for us being known as people of excellence who walk in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And we're going to listen to the Song of Praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Every yoke is destroyed.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. Our worship is shifting. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. I worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Tuesday Night Teaching with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how the Bible is our guide for eternal life. And here on Spirit Alive Network, we believe that all things that pertain to life and godliness are contained in the Word of God. And the Bible is our guide for eternal life because God would not have us to be ignorant concerning life and His Word and His plan and His design. See, God's word says that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's why we all must study God's word so that we can come to an understanding of exactly what it is God's doing. When you speak in the world, when you listen to those in the world, you'll hear them repeatedly inquire about the meaning of life, the things that are giving all of this activity here on earth substance and purpose. What's it all about? And they're concerned. They all want to know, you know. And it's fascinating to me because the self-help industry is flooded that supposedly have the answers to life and happiness and success. And because people have a desire to be successful, people have a desire to understand the meaning of life, people have a desire to seek real answers and real truth, they will purchase and follow and go to great lengths in order to acquire this knowledge, this understanding. And what's fascinating is that it is right in front of them. The Word of God, the Holy Bible, is the answer to life. It is everything that you need to know about everything related to life and godliness. However, one of the things that seems to be in the way of many people approaching the Word of God is their pride or their fear or their emotional understanding of what religion has meant to them in the past or their family or their loved ones, and they are rejecting the idea that the answers are contained in the Word of God, and that is hindering their ability to get to what they want. See, they want to know. There is no one in the world, that, in my opinion, that doesn't want to know. And I think that for us, understanding that God has made His Word available to us, and has given us the power of the Holy Spirit within us to understand and comprehend and use His Word so that we can live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And we can have the wholeness that He has planned for us. See, everyone's looking for an answer. The Bible contains the answers related to life and godliness. And what we have to do is learn to reject our own understanding and be transformed by renewing our mind to the truth that is contained within God's Word. And when we do that, what we discover is there is no self-help guru required. There is no person that you have to follow except Jesus Christ. And the way that you follow Jesus Christ is by studying God's word so that you can hear the commands of God. You can hear the commands of his son, Jesus Christ. You can do what God says to do in order to acquire the promises that lead to living a more than abundant life. It is God's will for you to prosper and be in health. God says that if you're his child, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you, right? God says he has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And many times, because of how the word of God may be presented, people feel like it is of no practical benefit to them. But what they will discover when they humble themselves to the word, they will find that the real answers to operating in real power are contained in the word of God. So whether it's your pain that you have to get past, whether it's your disappointment that you have to get past, whether it's some hypocrites that you have to get past, whether it's your own shame that you have to get past, whatever you have to overcome in order to begin to approach the word of God and to allow it to cleanse you. See, only the word of God can cleanse. I know many people who believe that they can get their life together on their own, but only the word of God can cleanse you of the sin that has beset you and hindered you from being all that you can be, right? But when you embrace the word of God and you make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your master, then real power is available to you. Real results are going to be yours. And you are not going to have to be lost. You're not going to have to look for answers following some man who pretends to know what he can never really know. But he's convincing enough, or she's convincing enough, or they have a great marketing system, or a whole bunch of people following them, or they're satisfying some other need that you have in the quest for your answers, right? And what many people are doing is they are simply trying to avoid going to the source. They know where the answers are. They know the answers are in the Bible. They know people who have really had a heart for God that God has blessed, that they know about. And they know that if they humble themselves to God, that God will exalt them too. But their pride is in the way. Their need to do it themselves is in the way of their being blessed. And that makes absolutely no sense at all. So that's why God tells us to come to him, to study his word, to understand that his word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so tonight I want to start in the book of Psalm, and I want to look at the 119th Psalm, verse 105. And what it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we have to see that God's word is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and it makes our way plain. It makes it so that we are not wandering around in darkness trying to feel our way around, because God has given us the light. He needs us to be confident in the steps that we take for him. And so he guides us. He would not have us to be ignorant concerning anything related to life or godliness. So he's given us the answers in the word of God so that we can study, so that we do not have to depend on someone else telling us what he needs them to know. See, what God needs us to know, he's given us the ability to study and comprehend and understand for ourselves in the Word of God. And yes, it's good to have teachers. Yes, it's good to have pastors. Yes, it's good to have evangelists. Yes, it's good to have apostles. Yes, it's good to have prophets. But their job is to equip you with the ability to study God's Word and operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's their job, is to thoroughly equip you and train you and develop you so that you become the child of God that God intended you to be. But it's still your responsibility to study God's Word for yourself so that you're not dependent upon what someone else is telling you, so that you actually know what the Word of God says for yourself, so that you can share it with someone else and they can be blessed by you. So the Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, so that you're confident, so that you can see where you're going, so that you are secure in your steps. Look at what it says in Psalm 119:11. It says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." See, you have to study God's word to hide God's word in your heart. In your heart is really the seat of your mind. It is the essence of your soul. It is your mind, your will, your emotions. It's who you are. And when you hide God's word in your heart, then your will is to do God's will. Your mind is God's mind. Your emotions are in tune with the fruit of the Spirit, so that your emotions are God's emotions of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. See, that's what emotional wholeness looks like. That's what a Christian looks like. And so when we hide God's word in our heart, it keeps us from sinning against God, because we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you love God like that, then you love yourself. And when you love yourself, then you're able to love others, even your enemies. And you're able to do the word that God has given you, because you studied his word. You know what God said and what he didn't say, so that when someone tells you a lie, you can reject that lie in the name of Jesus Christ. When the devil came to Eve, she could have rejected what the devil said in the name of Jesus Christ if she knew what God said, but she just didn't know what God said. So she added a word, and she changed a word, and she took a word out. And you, when you do that, you no longer have the word of God. And after she did all that, the devil just said, hey, now this is after the devil questioning her, of course. But after it was clear she didn't know what the word of God said, then the devil just came out and gave her a straight out lie and said that God, you know, did not say that. He knows that when you do this, you're going to be as wise as he is and all this. And see, that is the lie. And that's why we have to hide God's word in our heart, so that we will not sin against God. Because when we hide God's word in our heart, we understand why God wants us to do what he is asking us to do. We understand that there is a reward, that God is faithful to give us when we obey his word. And we understand that obedience is not optional. And that is one of the most twisted teachings that you see over and over and over in the church. And I know people mean well in trying to suggest that down to the ground, because you make a mistake, doesn't mean that obeying God is optional. It is not. It's optional if you don't want to be blessed. It's optional if you don't want to win any souls for the kingdom. It's optional if you want to go into heaven as someone who was saved the day before Jesus Christ came back. It's optional if you don't want any rewards. You know, it's optional if you don't want to live a more than abundant life. Obeying God is optional. But no, obeying God is not optional. It's absolutely required. So we have to understand that the need to serve God and not serve money is absolutely real. The need to please God and not please people is absolutely real. The need to trust God and not your own understanding and rationale is absolute. The need to obey God is and not your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities is absolutely necessary so that you can operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't a joke. This is real. This is life or death. Everything is at stake, and you have to live as if it is. So look at what it says in Psalm 119:9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, right? So even a young man with all of the temptation and all of the power of youth and all of these distractions, a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed according to the word of God and understand that there is great benefits in doing God's things God's way, no matter how old or how young you are. And your way can be straight. Your way can be clean. Your way can be powerful if you take heed to the word of God, no matter how young you are. Look what it says in Psalm 119:24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Testimonies of God are our delight. They are our counselors. And that's why we have to study God's word, so that we can hide his word in our heart, allow his word to be our counselors, allow his word to, his testimonies to be our delight, right? And see, it is God testifying of himself, God testifying of the goodness of his plan for your life. And when you agree with God that God's plan is good, then God is going to do everything that he said he was going to do in his word, because one thing we know God cannot do is lie. God cannot transgress against his own word. God humbled himself to his own word by magnifying his word above his own name. And we have to understand that, and understand that when we too magnify God's word, we are glorifying God, and we are coming into agreement with God that his plan is good. Look at what it says in Psalm 19:9-11. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. See, God is not asking you to obey him for nothing. God is saying, if you do my things my way, there is a great reward in store for you now and in eternity. And one of the lies that you see in the world that is repeatedly sold is that people say, oh, you've been sold the great hereafter in exchange for being now, being happy now. And see, that's not true at all. What God is saying is, I'm going to give you joy now, and I'm going to give you pleasures in eternity, for eternity. And see, God has said that no man has comprehended, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what he has planned for us, because it's that great. And when we believe that, then we're warned not to miss out on that, not to fail to develop our soul in this life so that it can be prepared to benefit and function fully in the life to come, in eternity, in the kingdom of God, in the right. reign, in the thousand-year reign with Jesus Christ. See, those of us who are developing our soul now to function fully in eternity, we're going to be able to go in and out of the holy city. We're going to receive our crowns. We're going to be able to partake of the tree of life and take of the fruit of the tree of life probably out to those who cannot go in and out of the holy city. See, we're going to reign with Christ during the thousand-year reign. We're going to sit with Christ on his throne as he sits with his Father on his throne now. And see, that's important to understand, that to sit on the throne means to function as a part of the government of Jesus Christ. We're going to be reigning with him, ruling with him, if we're preparing ourselves to do so now, if we're developing our inner man now, if we're building up our inner man now by speaking in tongues and studying God's word and fasting and praying and fellowshipping with like-minded believers. See, studying God's word is not optional. It's absolutely required so that we know what God is asking of us. Look at what it says in Psalm 23. It says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, our soul is always being contended for, being fought after jealously by our flesh, which wants our soul to seek the creature comforts of the flesh so that our mind, will, and emotions is what we're wearing, what we're eating, where we're living, what we're driving, what people think about us, where we have to work, what our career is, what is our status, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, da 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 da. All those distractions of things that are not going to even exist in eternity. None of it. None of it. See, remember, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why your soul is so valuable, because your soul is going into eternity. And you have to understand that what is also pulling on your soul in the opposite direction is your spirit, which is calling for you to come to God, to speak with God, to dwell with God, to meditate on the word of God, so that you can do what mankind was unable to do for 4,000 years after Adam's sin. Adam sinned and lost his ability to commune with God, to communicate with God. He was dead to God. His spirit was gone. And for 4,000 years, when God wanted to speak to man, he had to take on some form like a burning bush, or he had to send a prophet to speak through that prophet by putting the Holy Spirit upon that prophet. But after God sent his son Jesus Christ to die at Calvary and to be laid in the tomb, in the stone tomb, dead for 3 days and three nights, and then God raised him from the dead after 3 days and three nights and seated his son at his right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with you and I. After God did that, then 4,000 years later, you and I were able to communicate with God again like he originally designed it. We were able to have the Holy Spirit within us as a part of our being so that we were once again a body, soul, and spirit. And that changed things. So for the past 2,000 years, mankind has been able to communicate with God. Mankind has been able to go boldly before the throne of God and receive mercy to help in the time of need. And yet, many of us take it for granted as if it's something that was always available. And originally, that's how God designed it. Adam was spirit first. Then he formed his body, and then when, after he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, then Adam's soul kicked in, and he was able to have his mind, will, and emotions connect with his spirit and speak to God as he moved on the earth with his body. And his disobedience led to his inability to communicate with God. But now that we have the Holy Spirit, when we're saved, when we make Jesus Christ Lord of our life by being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, by repenting, turning away from serving sin, by confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, by believing in our heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, by believing to speak in tongues, by believing to prophesy, by calling on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we know that we know that we're absolutely saved and we are children of God. And this gives us the ability to communicate with God regularly, to build up our inner man. And so what we do is we resist the temptation to focus on the flesh and the needs of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And we focus on building up our inner man because that's what's going into eternity, your soul. Flesh and blood is not going to inherit eternal life. Your soul is what is going into eternity. And so now, you need to build up your soul by focusing on your spirit. And one of the best analogies I can give you when I say flesh and blood, eternal life, is not going to inherit the kingdom of God is, remember when we were in our mother's womb as a fetus before we were born, and you had the placenta, which was taking the nourishment and nutrition from our mother and taking it through the umbilical cord that was connected to our belly button, and it was giving us sustenance and feeding us and developing us, and our mother was eating right, and she was resting, and she was doing the things she should have been doing, taking her prenatal vitamins, all those good things, and that prepared us for our 70 to 120 years of life on earth after we were born, right? And what was fascinating about that to me is did not go into this life with us was the placenta, the umbilical cord, the amniotic sac that surrounded us before we were born, right? All that stuff was thrown away as soon as we were born. Didn't need it anymore. And then we went through this life. And so it is with this flesh and bones body of ours. After our 70 to 120 years on earth, it is not going into eternity. It is going into the ground. But our soul is going into eternity. And that's why you have to be focused on that. Because your soul is important. And when you're born again, placenta, the umbilical cord was cut. That amniotic sac was gone. Those things were thrown in the trash. And this earthly vessel of flesh and bones is for the purpose of preparing your soul and taking you through this life of 70 to 120 years, and preparing your soul for eternity. And to understand that it's necessary. This earthen vessel is a blessing. It's a good thing, but it's a temporal thing. It's not what is going into eternity. So now look at what it says here. We read Psalm 23:3, where he says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that is what God does to us. Look what it says in Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And this is God speaking and saying, I'm not going to have you ignorant. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you in the way you should go. And a lot of that is through his word. But some of that is also through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that when you're studying the word, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and give you what you need to know through word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discernment spirits, so that you can function in the supernatural realm. And God says he will instruct you. He will teach you in the way that you should go. And he says here, I will guide you with my eye. Now, what's fascinating about that to me is God is saying, look, when you were a babe, when you were a child, when you were an immature Christian, you were looking for my provision. You were looking for my hand. But I'm going to instruct you and teach you. I'm going to guide you with my eye because you're going to learn to look to my face. You're going to be in relationship with me. You're going to understand the privilege that it is to have an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God as your heavenly Father. And when my eye moves, you're going to know to move in the direction that you see my eye moving, right? That is how in tune we're going to be with our heavenly Father. And look at what it says, and that's how in tune we should be with him when he is instructing us and teaching us and the way we should go. Look what it says in Psalm 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. God delights in your way when he is ordering your steps. And so if you're ordering your steps, you don't have to falter. You know why? Because the word is your lamp to your feet, and God's word is a light to your path. And so we have to understand that when we hide God's word in our heart, we're not going to sin against God. We're going to allow God's word to cleanse us and to prepare us for whatever it is that God has us to do next, because we're delighting in his word. We're taking our counsel from his word, not from the news, not from the internet, not from our friends, but from the word of God itself. We're going directly to the source. And, you know, I like the idea that you can get great ideas from books and lectures and symposiums and the internet and whatnot. But to go directly to the source and get my knowledge and wisdom and understanding directly from the word of God. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly equipped for every good work. See, the scripture that's given by God, by inspiration of God, is profitable. That's the first thing you need to know. What's it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine, right? So that you can receive what you should do. It's profitable for reproof, to establish why, create an understanding of why it's important to do God's things God's way. It's profitable for correction, so that when you do things the wrong way, you can come back and submit and yield to the word of God and be restored. God's word is profitable for instruction in righteousness, so that you understand what real righteousness is, not your own idea of what you think is righteous. And the idea is that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete. And many translations say thoroughly equipped for every good work, but the word really isn't thoroughly here. The word here is best translated truly, which is an internal job of cleansing, purifying, preparing inside out. The Holy Spirit that's placed in you is designed to do a complete and perfect work from the inside out. If I thoroughly cleanse something, it is an outside external job. And we all know that the idea of the Easter egg is it's got this pristine exterior, but if you crack it, it's rotten on the inside and it smells. And that's not what God is doing with us. God needs us to be alive on the inside so that what is within can be consumed. It can be prepared. It can be used to produce its intended effect. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 6:22-24. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. So God is telling you in Proverbs that his word is going to lead you. His word is going to keep you while you are asleep. When you awake, his word is going to speak to you and direct you. For the commandment of God is a lamp, and the law of God is a light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress, so that you are not misled into a trap. So you are not led astray and victimized and abused by the devil. Look at what it says here in Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So what he's saying here is that you're going to hear that still small voice directing you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you go to the right hand, you're going to know that it's for you to go right. And whenever you turn to the left, you'll know it's time for you to turn to the left. And you're going to understand that it's God leading you, so you're confident in the direction that you go. You're not second-guessing yourself. You're not standing in the middle of the street deciding which side of the street you're going to end up on. Look at what it says here in Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, all of these self-help gurus, all of these seminars to improve your life, all of these answers that people have, these magical solutions, they are selling you a false bill of goods, because the Bible's already telling you that it is the book of the law of God that is giving you the ability to make your way prosperous and to have good success. See, you can have success without having good success. It's possible for you to own your business, and it's also possible for your business to own you. Possible for you to own your house. It's also possible for your house to own you. And you, in order to have good success, have to trust God and do God's things God's way so that you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success, because you're going to be glorifying God, putting God first, trusting in God, pleasing God, serving God, obeying God. And that is what God wants you to have. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to live a more than abundant life. Look what it says in John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's saying, look, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You know what that fancy word disciples means? It means disciplined follower. So if you're a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, you do what Jesus Christ says to do. And he says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples. If you do what I say. And it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you've heard it said in the world, the truth will set you free. No, the truth will make you free. And see, it's fascinating because the idea of being free is absolutely connected to everything God is doing for you. God took the 70 people that entered into Egypt, which as a result of Joseph's family, and he turned those 600,000 people in Egypt, and they were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and after becoming 660,000 people, God sent Moses to free them and deliver them, and they were brought into the wilderness to be turned into a nation, and they just did not believe to enter into the promised land. And so their children had to enter in. And so it took 40 years in the wilderness to turn 660,000 slaves into a nation that believed that could enter into the promised land and take the land of Canaan that God had given to them. And so we have to understand that God has a plan for us. His plan is that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. And when we agree with God's plan, that God's plan is good, then he is going to bless us. He is going to restore us. He is going to put us in a place where we are going to be exalted so that other people can see that it's possible to go from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God when we trust in the Word of God and we magnify the Word of God the way that God magnifies his Word above his very own name. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you this week to look for ways to study God's Word and to spend time with God. Be led to the answers that are contained in the Word of God, and you can learn to reject your own understanding and be transformed by renewing your mind to the Word of God and replacing what you think, what you feel, what you hear, what you observe, what you believe with what the Word of God says so that you can be made free, not set free. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for you blessing someone mightily so that they can know that you're always with them and that you're always concerned about their well-being. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.